You're now listening to the Inside Out Podcast with Jimmy Hunt. Get it.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Inside Out with Jimmy Hunt, your podcast for improving your mental fitness. And today, we're venturing into a fantastic topic, and it's very close to my heart. The unexpected mental fitness benefits of talking to strangers. And now that may freak out a lot of you straight off the bat, but I will lay out here how there's power in new conversations. Learning from the unfamiliar is one of the best things you can do, the psychological benefits of this, and then how to do it. And with me today is a person that loves just going up and randomly talking to strangers, Libby Grace.
Hello. Hello, everybody. He's a big fat liar. I do not like it. I do not like it at all.
No, you do not. So, as we sit here in the room today, I direct all of this at you.
As we sit here in the room in my little bubble, which I very rarely venture outside of, I don't think I am the authority on this topic.
No, so we'll see if I can persuade you with my arguments over this podcast on why it's so important that you talk to strangers, that you meet new people, that you put yourself in situations that allow you to gain new perspectives and understandings. So, a lot of people might be thinking, really? How is this a mental fitness topic? And I shall explain. Every day we are surrounded by a sea of untapped stories, wisdom, and connections. And from my own experiences of offering up conversations on the beach or on the trail or wherever, I have discovered a world of infinite possibilities. And these spontaneous interactions aren't just casual chats. They are gateways to new perspectives, unexpected lessons, and a deeper sense of community. And we've talked about that so many times. Connection. Important.
Massively important.
In this episode, we'll explore how engaging with people we don't know can challenge our preconceptions, broaden our understanding, and ultimately strengthen our mental fitness. So, if you are curious about how a simple hello can lead to profound insights, stay tuned as we dive into the world of strangers and the surprising impact that they can have on our minds and lives. You ready, Libby Grace?
I think so. Let's go.
All right. Call this segment number one because it is the first segment we will do.
You're very smart.
I'm a genius. Segment number one, the power of new conversations. So as we kick off this segment number one, we will dive into this concept that I find incredibly energizing. The idea that the world is brimming with infinite possibilities and probabilities. Literally infinite. Yet we tend to choose the same probabilities over and over and over and over again because they are safe. We know the outcome. And even if it's not an outcome that we want, it's one that won't surprise us. Picture this. Every person you pass by, every individual you see from afar on the beach, holds within them a universe of experiences, thoughts, and insights. And all it takes to access this vast wealth of knowledge is a simple hello.
Hola.
There's this linguist guy, and he decided that the English language didn't have enough words for particular feelings and happenstance. And so he made them up. He literally invented his own words. You laugh. There's nothing wrong with people inventing their own words, Libby Grace.
I do it all the time.
As do I. But he did it properly because he's an actual linguist. So he actually knew the roots and the bases and all of the things that you could build a word up on. And his website, for anyone that's interested, is called The Dictionary of Obscure Sorrows.
Awesome.
And one of my favorite words in this dictionary is the word sonder. S-O-N-D-E-R. It probably has all sorts of root meanings and all that sort of stuff. But here is its definition. It is a noun.
Mm-hmm.
And its definition is this. The realization that each random passerby is living a life as vivid and complex as your own, populated with their own ambitions, friends, routines, worries, and inherited craziness. An epic story that continues invisibly around you like an anthill sprawling deep underground with elaborate passageways to thousands of other lives that you'll never know existed, and which you might appear only once as an extra sipping coffee in the background, as a blur of traffic passing on the highway, as a lighted window at dusk.
It's an extremely explicit definition of a noun. I don't think I've ever heard one that long before.
But how beautiful.
Yeah, perfect.
Right.
Captures everything, kind of captures everything, even when I was like, oh, that's the end of it. Oh, no, yeah, there's more. That really went quite deep.
On Reddity things, there is like a subreddit called Main Character, which is people who just think that they're the main character and there's no one else apart from them. And so they lead the story, and we are all our own main characters, obviously. We are egocentric. We are the center of our own universe. And so Sonder, to be that realization that, holy shit, these other people have a life as diverse and insane as we do.
Yeah.
And hold on, maybe we could tap into that. It is like that, I think the definition is just beautiful.
Agreed.
And so we take cameos in those stories, the other people's stories. And if you stop and think hard enough, you have those people too. Like, we're both cameoing in each other's lives.
Yeah.
A relationship thing that I think Sally first said to me is a reason, a season, a lifetime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right?
It's a classic.
Yeah. And so the reason might just be a beautiful lit window in a dark skyscraper on a skyline, you know?
Yeah.
That's somebody's...
Just a moment.
That's someone's... Even less than a moment, you know? Adding to... They play a millionth of that moment.
Yeah, right.
But that was their job. And so here's my thing about this. Every conversation with a stranger is an opportunity to learn, to grow, and to see the world through a different lens. So it's a chance to break away from our echo chambers and expose ourselves to thoughts and ideas that we might never have encountered otherwise. That's my point.
Yeah.
They hold the keys to things that we would never encounter on our own.
I want to take that a step further and reference another book I read when I was a teenager. And then I reread it again maybe 10 years ago, The Celestine Prophecy.
Yes.
It's one of those, you know, new age kind of novels that, you know, a lot of people read and take what they will from. And one of the profound things that I learned from that, that took away from that, was there's a passage in there that's basically saying that we're all put on this earth, there's billions of us, and we happen to interact with, we might be in a room with, let's say, 20 people or in a cafe. You're in that room for a reason. Go and say hello to each of them. Like, that's the purpose on it. There's, out of all of the billions of people on earth, why are you in the room with those 20 or two or four or however many it is? Or on the beach when you go down, there's maybe, 100, 200 people there. Why, out of all of the billions of people on the earth, are those ones around you? And it was saying that our purpose is, or what we should be doing in those situations, is going and interacting with the people in that room, because they might have a profound wisdom. They are a teacher to us and we're a teacher to them. Like, that's, you know, it's a long time since I read it, but that was kind of the crux of it. And it really stuck with me, because it made me then think, every time I am in a situation, it's like, I could be, these are the X number of people that I've been presented with out of the billions on earth. They must have something, there must be a reason for that, you know, going down that sort of esoteric path with it. What can I learn from them and what can I teach them? I think that's a really nice way to look at. For me, somebody who's an introvert, stepping outside of that and thinking, okay, what could I learn if I did go and approach that person?
Absolutely. Segment number two. learning from the unfamiliar. And so that's exactly the perfect segue into the segment because I was going to posit the concept of everyone is your teacher.
Everyone alive at the moment.
Everyone that comes into your orbit.
Yeah.
Right? Everyone is your teacher. Everyone can teach you something.
Yeah.
Every person that you encounter has the ability to create an awareness and understandings inside you that can change your life. So there was a guy last week, pissed me off. And
I'm like wanting to know who that was, but obviously not wanting you to name them.
And he created an awareness in me of something that I needed to work on.
Right.
And even if you would like to go to the extent of saying, I don't like that person, or I hate that person, or whatever, you really have to sit there and go, I am so grateful and thankful for that person.
Yeah.
Because they triggered an awareness in me that allowed me to do particular work that allowed me to become a better human.
They gave you an opportunity.
Yeah. So that's just it. Like the homeless drunk guy may be able to teach you about acceptance and understanding more than the spiritual guru even. And like I just said, some people may teach you what not to do.
Yeah.
But either way, the fact is that everyone can be your teacher, and that is a profound realization. The idea that each individual that you meet, regardless of their background or story, has something valuable to impart. And this is the essence of learning from the unfamiliar.
Yeah. I think it's as well, it's just having that realization of respecting that everyone around us is a human being. Yeah. And their value is no less than your own, even though you are the main character in your story. Their value in their story, they're the main character, you know. So it's kind of having that step back awareness and go, oh, this person is valuable on this planet. It's kind of a very, I think it's an important thing for people to carry with them, especially in the environment that we live in. Don't want to go into it, but you know, we're also disconnected and disjointed, and kind of there's a lot of versus this versus that, these everyone's at war with each other, et cetera, but having that moment of, oh, that's another human being. It's just a respect of they could probably teach me something. And it puts it to a different level.
Yeah. See, talking to people from different walks of life or whatever, it isn't just an exercise in being social and socializing. It's kind of like an expedition. You know, I like adventuring. And that's what it feels like. It's like an expedition into unknown territories.
Yeah.
Right? Every person is, you know, even people you know can be, if you ask the right questions, can be an expedition into completely unknown territory. A great example of that is travel.
For sure.
See, when we travel, yeah, we do a bit of sightseeing. We you know, that's what most people go for, to see the sights. We're actually more soul seeking. Kind of the term I came up with for it. We immerse ourselves in different cultures, traditions, lifestyles. When we engage with the locals or even just the fellow travelers, or actually, even with ourselves.
Yeah.
With ourselves, but in a different way.
Yeah.
Each of those interactions. You know, each shared story and each exchanged smile with random locals broadens our perspective and can deepen our empathy. I mentioned the story on a podcast somewhere before, I think, but, you know, when I went to India with my father and I just mentioned, wow, there's a lot of gay guys here. And he's like, no, Like, they're just not afraid of holding hands.
Mm.
They just don't have that, you know, basically taught out of them.
Yeah.
That they're allowed to show affection to their male friends. And, like, just even just with that one interaction with my father, poof, like, my world got expanded.
Yeah.
My perspectives and understandings just grew. And, you know, I learned that through travel. And that realization, that awareness, that perspective shift taught me so much about connection. Stuff that I still talk about and teach to this day, even though that was, shit, oh no, 20 years ago almost.
Yeah.
And that is the magic of engaging with the unfamiliar. It's a limitless source of learning and growth. And so whether you're going through foreign countries or just stepping out into your local community, remember, every person that you meet carries a piece of the puzzle of this vast, complex, and beautiful world. And each conversation is an opportunity to discover a piece that you never knew was missing. I like that analogy.
Hmm.
That everyone that, like you said, everyone that sort of, out of the 8 billion people on this planet, only a very few are actually put in our close proximity.
Yeah.
And to just imagine that they carry a puzzle piece that can unlock or complete a part of your puzzle, it's kind of like a really fun game.
Yeah.
You know, you just look at them all and go, what puzzle piece do you have for me?
Yeah, and you might never find out if you don't.
If you don't go and
interact.
Talk to them.
And it's the thing is, you know, that they're not in your path by accident. That's what I truly believe, that people are not in our path by accident. But I am not like you in the sense that I have that bravery. I can't go up to random strangers and start a conversation. I'm not uncomfortable with that, but it's not something that I seek out, whereas you do. You yeah. seek it out. I'm more happy, and it happens quite a lot here. There's a lot of tourists come through our town, and I think that tourist backpackers, especially people who live in hostels, are excellent at striking up conversations, because, you know, if you're traveling yeah. alone, that's your entertainment. And I get people approach me a lot. And so instead of me being the one to make the approach, I'm quite comfortable having people break through whatever, you know. I yeah. was sitting with my friend having lunch the other day, and somebody came over and literally sat down at a table and, you know, made this comment that was like,
what did
whoa.
She say to you, Libby Grace?
No, it doesn't matter.
What did she say to you, Libby Grace?
I can't remember exactly. She
what
said,
what did she say to you, Libby Grace?
She said, you seem really cool. Or something like that.
She came up out of the blue and said, hey, you look really cool.
Yeah. She said, you seem really
cool.
You
seem really cool.
And then I sat down with my friend and we were talking, and she came over later. She goes, you guys, you seem really cool. I feel like we would get on really well. I was like, that's insane, because we haven't even met you.
Yeah.
But so, she sat with us. We had a conversation. So my part in it is that I'm open to allowing that somebody to come and make that approach, but I find it more difficult to do
you
the approach.
You didn't tell her to go away.
Not at all.
Exactly.
Even though my friend and I were in the middle of a very deep and important conversation, at first I was like, oh, this is probably not the right time, but okay. And I kind of took the cues from my friend as well. She was okay with it. So we ended up having a really enjoyable conversation with this person. But what I'm saying is that to your point earlier, it's about having a curiosity enough to want to seek out what that other person has for you, what puzzle piece they have for you, because you can just walk through life not even caring. You can walk through your life not interacting with people, not wondering about what else is out there, not wondering if, you know, somebody's got some information for you or something to teach you. You could absolutely walk through your life that way. But what I think you're kind of touching on is that having the importance of having that curiosity to know that somebody could be a teacher for you, that somebody could have this little nugget or a word or a gesture or just something that lightens your mood or brightens your day or whatever. So I think that's kind of you know, what we're kind of trying to develop here is that curiosity about it.
Yeah.
Actually seeking it out rather than being a bystander.
Thanks for that, Libby. You stole a story that I was going to use later on in the other part.
What story? My story?
Yeah, your story. I was going to talk about that.
We can still go over it again if you want.
Segment number three, the psychological benefits. Like why? Yes, Jimmy, talk to strangers. Yes, you've waxed lyrical with analogies and made up words. But I would like to tell you the profound psychological benefits that talking to strangers can bring into our lives. Engaging people we don't know isn't just about filling the silence. It's about enriching our mental landscape. Here's how. Number one, it alleviates loneliness.
Mm.
Loneliness is a goddamn epidemic right now. I've done a bunch of the stats on loneliness during our connection episode and everything. I don't need to go into it again. You will know if you have bouts of loneliness. And striking up a conversation with a stranger can be a powerful antidote to feelings of isolation. And it reminds us that we are actually part of a larger and more interconnected community. Number two, it boosts your mood. Social interactions, even brief ones, can uplift our spirits. And a friendly exchange can turn a mundane moment into a highlight of the day. Plenty of research around that. Number three, it enhances cognitive function. Engaging in diverse conversations challenges our thinking and keeps our mind sharp, literally creating new neural pathways. It's basically like mental gymnastics, and that fortifies our cognitive health. Just think about how many of the same bullshit inane conversations you have over and over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Reinforcing the same, you know, mildly useless neural pathways that we have. Right, so when people get trained in order to improve cognitive function, you want to be creating new neural pathways, and you can do that through things like brushing your teeth with the other hand.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's suddenly, oh, wow, okay, this is, I'm having to make whole new pathways to even get these teeth mildly clean, right? And so you can do all sorts of, there's finger games and even feet games and tapping games, and there's all sorts of things that you can do in order to create new neural pathways. New conversations do the same thing, and are more fun. Number four, expands your perspectives. Talking to someone from a different background with a unique viewpoint can broaden our understanding of the world and challenge our preconceived notions. Number five, it fosters empathy. Understanding the stories and experiences of others cultivates empathy. It's a journey from mere coexistence to meaningful connection.
Mm.
And number six, it builds confidence. The more that we practice reaching out to others, the more confident we become in our social skills and our ability to navigate new situations. And so while these benefits are all very widely recognized, there's plenty of data out there, if you don't believe me, anecdotally off the top of my head right now. Not off the top of my head, but I'm not going into all of the studies on all of those particular things. Nonetheless, the takeaway is very, very, very clear. A simple hello might just be the key to unlocking a richer, more connected experience of life. So the next time you can just consider when you cross a path with a stranger, that it's an opportunity for them, for you, and for the intricate tapestry of human connection that we all have. Segment number four, Libby Grace.
Mm-hmm.
Breaking the ice.
Oosh.
Practical tips.
Here we go.
Right, this is how we actually do it.
Yeah, this is good though, because like I as we were talking, I'm thinking, well, this is a great podcast for people like you who are very outgoing, really into it. It's great for people like me who are not actually shy about talking to other people, but just don't take the first step necessarily. But in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, what about all the people out there listening who are super scared of it, who really get social anxiety, who have tried and been knocked back and possibly had a little bit of a knock to their confidence. And so I'm very, very excited to hear what your tips are for helping people be able to make that first move and initiate a conversation with a stranger.
Right. Venturing into conversations with strangers can be a thrilling journey, but it could also be just goddamn terrifying.
I feel like thrilling carries that connotation of terrifying at the same time anyway.
I guess so.
It's not just exciting. Yay! It's like, holy shit, this is thrilling.
And well, and for good reason though, right? Like all of us are afraid of rejection.
Mm-hmm.
Before we even start this list, practical tip number zero, fuck rejection. Like it doesn't matter. And it doesn't mean anything. And it's 100% more about them than it is about you.
Yeah.
They might be having a bad day, a bad week or a bad month. They might just not be in the right place to talk to strangers at that time. They might simply be in a hurry to get to work or meet a friend. There are thousands of legitimate reasons why they don't have the time or capacity to talk to you.
Mm, and it's nothing to do with you.
So get over it.
Yeah.
It's not you.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about you. And if they're just a dick, go, cool. Glad I found out real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And now I don't have to actually have a big conversation to find out you're an idiot. Now, as a lot of people know, they don't know the frequency. So 3 days a week, I spend 3 hours down at the beach here in Puerto Escondido with a sign. My sign says, chat with me. Free advice, conversations, and listening. And I sit there. I've got a really cool new beach shelter. I haven't even posted a photo of it yet.
It's pretty cute.
It's pretty cute. It's cool stretchy fabric, but it's like white and gold leopard print, which is pretty rad.
Stands out in a crowd, that's for sure.
I got some fancy new beach chairs, so it's nice and comfortable to sit there for long hours and other people can sit with me. And for Christmas, I got given a nice new rug. We got given, but I've taken it for the beach.
Yeah.
And so I sit there with my little setup and it is basically an open invitation for people to come and chat with me. Literally written on a sign.
Mm.
And so just being open to that, me obviously very explicitly, but you can also be open just with your energy. Just with your facial expressions, girls know this inherently well. If they go to a bar and they don't want to be hit on, like they put their closed body language on.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, don't approach me. And so you can also do the opposite of like, hey, I'm approachable. And so even if you're too scared, so I'm not even on to tip number one yet, because like even if you're too scared to approach anybody, to start a conversation, make yourself approachable.
Yeah.
I do it very explicitly with a sign. You can put a sign out as well. Tape a sign to the back of your jumper. I'm open to chatting. Or you can just be energetically, visibly open. And even just that, I think you'll be surprised on how many people will initiate, or how many more people. Might not be a constant stream unless you're a pretty lady like Libby Grace who just has to sit there and people come up to her and go, oh, you're so cool. Can I come and talk to you?
I did correct her and tell her that I'm not cool.
Yeah.
So we got that out of the way quite quickly.
Yeah. So the other thing with my sign down at the beach, 4 years. I've been doing it. I came up the other day on one of my Facebook memories. I've been doing it for 8 years. And only up until very recently, every time I sat down and opened myself up like that, I was scared no one would want to talk to me.
Yeah, crazy.
So scared. Sit there like, what will people think of me if no one turns up? And it was only, well, I'll get to that one. That's further down. We'll start with number one, shall we?
Teaser there.
Yeah, we'll start with number one. Start small.
Don't go to the beach with a sign and a big setup.
Not necessarily. Begin, I've mentioned it a bunch of times. Begin with a simple greeting. Hi. Hi starts a conversation. Real simple. Or if you want to even up it a little more, one of the easiest ways in at any time is a compliment.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, I really like your hair.
Yeah.
Say people to Libby all the time. They do. Don't make stupid faces at me.
I'm just such a mess at the moment.
Yeah, but you have crazy pink hair.
Yeah, true. I do.
And oh, I love your hair. Oh, yeah. And that starts a conversation.
Yeah.
You know, people come up to me all the time and go, Jesus, fuck, you're good looking. And I'm like, well, thank you. Thank you so much. And then we have a conversation.
We've entered Jimmy's dream time, ladies and gentlemen. Just if you think we're still talking about reality, we're not.
No one has ever done that to me.
Oh, you're so history. Good looking. What? Hang on, wait. Jesus, fuck, you're good looking, yeah. Jimmy Hunt.
No one has said anything of that. No one's ever come up and said, oh my God, you're hot.
They say they compliment your nails when you've had your nails done.
People compliment my nails all the time.
Also, let's wind it back a bit. We've talked about this previously. When you compliment someone, you don't compliment their physical appearance in terms of their face or whatever, because that's something that's not in their control.
Yes.
You compliment something that they've chosen.
Correct.
That's a much better way to compliment somebody, because it actually compliments them and their choices and validates them.
Yep. Oh my God, I love your eyes. Thanks.
Congratulations on your face. Yeah. It's kind of really that.
Exactly. Compliment something that they can control makes them feel like they made a good choice.
Yeah.
Right. And so people complimenting me on my nails always feels good, because my nails are pretty much, what's the term that I'm looking for? It's really like anti-normal.
Yeah, that'll
do. Right, for men.
Anti-normal for men, the new puff-on.
Yeah, exactly. Right, and so I've made quite a bold choice.
Yes.
Not only do I have like painted nails, but like my nails are multicolored on the same nail, thanks to my nail technician.
You're welcome. It
was very good.
You're welcome.
Right. And so complimenting me on my nails is a really simple way to start a conversation.
Yeah.
Right. And the key is just a small little compliment, but that's follow it with an open-ended question. Right. So this is tip number two. Use open-ended questions. And so if you're going to compliment me on my nails, you're like, How long have you been doing that for?
Mm.
Oh, well, you know, I started, probably about 4 years ago, my wife started painting them. And, oh, your wife does them. That's really cool. You know, how long have you been married?
Yeah.
Oh, well, and those questions, they just, and you're into a conversation.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas if you're like, oh, I really love your nails. Thank you. That's the end of the conversation.
Yeah.
Right? The compliment, to go back to number one, is actually a very good way to judge appropriateness of conversation.
Yeah.
Oh, I love your nails. Thanks.
Yeah,
okay,
probably not engaging.
Let's not talk to that guy.
Yeah.
You know, I love your nails. Oh, thanks. My wife does them.
Mm.
Oh, cool. That's really cool. How long should we be doing them? Like, that a conversation comes off the back. And like, no one can be a dick about a compliment. Like, if it's sincere, Kiwis will try and play it down. Oh, nah, like Libby Grace.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You seem really cool. Oh, no, I'm not. Is there a response to that woman?
But I'm not cool. She was wrong. I had to set it straight.
Yeah. And here's why you never do that, ladies and gentlemen. You are invalidating somebody's opinion.
I get it.
And it's horrible.
Oh, sorry, man.
It's horrible.
I'm getting daggers over here.
Oh, no, I'm not cool. Oh, shit. Sorry for thinking you were. My cool radar must be quite off at the moment. Right?
Yeah.
The simple answer to any compliment is thank you.
I did say thank you. And then I said,
qualified it.
Yeah. I said, oh, thanks. I said, I'm not. I'm quite vanilla, but I appreciate the compliment.
Yeah. You need to work on that. Number three, which I touched on for a second, is recognize and respect boundaries.
For sure.
Right? Because it's crucial to be mindful, at least, of other people's comfort. If they seem disinterested or uncomfortable, it's obviously respectful to gracefully end the conversation.
Yeah, and you've got to understand as well that we
there's context, but there's also
People who have social anxiety, people who are neurodivergent, who don't necessarily read those signals the same way as everyone else. And so you've got to be really mindful of the fact that you might approach somebody who is neurodivergent, for example, and they might not respond to you with an open-ended answer to your open-ended question because they, you know, in their brain processes it as, this is a question I was asked, this is the answer to give, thank you very much, bye. So you do have to be mindful of the fact that not everyone operates on the Jimmy Hunt level of comfortability in starting a conversation or the Libby Grace comfortability level, because I'm quite comfortable doing it, like I said, but it's, you know, everybody's on that spectrum somewhere of how they are going to be when you approach them. So just, you know, being mindful of, number one, again, it's not a rejection necessarily if somebody answers you with a closed answer.
Absolutely. Number four. Have a list of questions that are already good.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Most people's problem with conversations, they become too generic, they become too useless, they're just, right? You can have phenomenal conversations by just remembering like three questions.
Mm-hmm.
But three questions that are interesting, not where you're from, what do you do, right? I have talked about this a bunch of times. On my free resources page on my website, there is a link to this. It is the 36 questions that lead to love, plus all of our date night questions that I compiled. And so even if you just remember a couple of them, you learn so much from these people, like especially if you take them from the top set of the 36 questions, which is like shared vulnerability, but at a low level. If you can just remember something like, I mean, my original one, not off this list, but my original one, what is you passionate about?
What is you passionate
about? Yeah, I messed that up when I said that. What are you passionate about, right? Who cares about what you do? What are you passionate about?
Yeah.
If what you do is what you're passionate about,
great.
Tell me all about it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'm going to lead you down to things where you talk. Like people love to talk about what they're passionate about, right? And so they'll just dive into that conversation. I always remember a couple of questions off this first set, like, given the choice of anyone in the world, who would you want as a dinner guest?
Yeah.
And then why?
I mean, that's a good question, but that's not something I'd lead with speaking to a stranger.
No. But I do when I'm a couple of questions in.
Yeah, right.
Right? So because like you can start off the conversation generically, right? Everyone has that ability. You can ask who you are, what do you do? You know, where did you get that car that you're driving? I really like it. Who does your nails that I really like? Whatever. Mm-hmm. Like those general questions. But then you can go like, I've got a crazy question for you. Like, what's your perfect day?
Yeah, I like that one.
You know, what's your perfect day? And they're like, what? I'm like, if you could do anything, if you had like reasonably unlimited budget, just you could do anything. What would you do for the day?
Yeah.
People are like, no one's ever asked them that before. And they're like, what would I do with my day? Suddenly you're bloody interesting because you've asked a great question. And then you're going to learn so much about them. And here's the thing, because you know the question, you've already answered this question yourself. You know what your perfect day is.
Yeah.
Right? And so you're going to have a cool answer that tells them a lot about you as well.
Yeah.
Number five, be an active listener. The key to actually talking to strangers you don't have to do much of the talking if you're the active listener and you ask good questions off the back of that. So as long as you can show a genuine interest in what the other person is saying, basically nod, maintain eye contact, and respond thoughtfully, active listening is a powerful way to show respect and interest. And then an active listener asks questions about what they just heard. They don't just wait for their turn to respond. Remember that kid, Sam, that came on the hikes all the time?
I never met him,
but I told you about him. Yeah. He's 22. He's currently off finishing visiting every country in the entire world. COVID stopped him, and he's getting the last 10 countries now. And the biggest compliment I have for Sam is he is, at 22 years old, the best question asker I have ever heard in my entire life. He asked me a question, I speak, and then he's like, yeah, but what about this? Or did you think about this when you said that or when you thought about that?
Mm.
Or I don't quite understand this part about it. And you're like, oh, yeah, well, okay, here's the next thing. Like, he is broadening his world. I know he's sitting there learning, listening. I know that he's the kind of kid that will go and apply it. But he is getting he is basically milking as much value out of me as he can.
Yeah.
By asking really, really good questions. And when I say really good questions, yes, the questions are good, but they are just listening and then being more inquisitive on what he just heard.
Yeah. Building it up, layer upon layer.
Yeah. Number six. Share a little bit about yourself. Openness begets openness. And that's that 36 questions thing, right? That's what Dr. Aaron found out, is that connection happens through shared vulnerability. And so if you're going to talk to strangers, you have to open up a little bit. Don't trauma dump on people.
Sorry, but, everybody I've met ever.
But just share little bits about yourself that can make the other person more comfortable in reciprocating the gesture, right? Because if you share a little bit, they will share a little bit.
Mm.
Especially if you've started the conversation, you should lead the depth of the conversation.
Yeah.
Number seven, mind your body language. Non-verbal cues are powerful. I can't remember what it is, but something like 80%.
Massive percentage. Yeah. Yeah.
80% of all of our communication is nonverbal.
It's nonverbal, yeah.
Might even be more than that, 85, 90. It's an insane amount. So ensure that your body language is open and inviting, like I said at the start. Avoid things like crossing your arms. And instead, you can like lean in slightly.
Oh my God, yeah. Put the slightly in there.
Slightly.
Don't be creepy.
Lean in slightly to show engagement.
Mm.
But it goes back to that keeping eye contact. Not closing yourself off. Number eight, no expectations.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Enter into each interaction that you ever have in your entire life without the expectation of it turning into anything specific. I think I'm very good at this down at the beach. With that practice, every single person that turns up, I have zero expectation, mm-hmm. like absolutely nothing. If they turn up and only want to talk for like a minute, you're like, cool, see ya, they're gone. If they sit down for 3 hours or they turn up for 3 days in a row, which all happens, wonderful.
Yeah.
Some of them turn into acquaintances. Occasionally they might turn into friends,
mm.
right? But never... when someone first turns up, they go, oh, new friend.
Oh, my God. The amount of times that I've had usually a guy come and approach me, talk to me, and I'm like using all of my signals to shut that down because I'm not interested or I'm just not feeling it or whatever. And they just keep going and going and going, like, read the room.
Welcome to Latin men, baby.
It's happened in every country. It's not just here, but it's like people not picking that. I think that's the thing I wanted to say is like pick up on the social cues, pick up on the body language of the person you're approaching because. You know, especially as a woman, you go through life already having your guard up a lot of the time. And then somebody expecting you that you owe them a conversation, it kind of can be quite bothersome sometimes. Yeah. So
that was number three, respect and recognize boundaries.
Yeah, that's exactly it. But yeah, just being saying making sure you're aware of what they might look like.
Yeah. Yeah. No expectations.
No expectations that I owe you a conversation.
Exactly. And this way, like literally because of the way I am, never disappointed.
Yeah.
Can't be disappointed if you have zero expectations, right? So they turn up. Ah, I'm going to go away now. Okay, see ya.
Yeah.
No expectations. Number 9. And the last one on our list today. Practice makes perfect. Same with everything else in this world. The more you engage with strangers, the more natural it will feel. Each interaction is a learning opportunity. So don't be discouraged by awkward moments. I know you mentioned this on a podcast recently. I don't even know which one. Maybe it was a connection one. Maybe it was. But at New Year, when I ended up talking to that guy at the beach.
Yeah, we did that.
Did you say that?
Talked about it. I think that was the connection one.
Yeah, and Soph said, oh my God, like he's so good at just.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know why?
Because practice. Yeah.
Lots of practice.
Yeah, you are very good at just talking to people.
Yeah, but I don't think I was always like that at all.
Mm.
I think I was quite standoffish for a lot of time.
I'm the opposite.
Unless you were pretty.
I used to be more the person to make the first contact, first communication. As I've got older, I've lessened. Quite interesting.
And that's it. That's the 9 things that I wrote down. And so
that's the 9 things I wrote down.
I wrote those 9 things down. Probably could have been a list of 30. I don't know. But I stopped at 9 because I was done. Just remember that the art of conversation is a two-way street. It's about exchange and mutual respect. And so by keeping these tips in mind, you're not just breaking the ice. You're also laying down the foundation for potential friendships, learning opportunities, and a richer and more connected life.
I used to have this is super random. I used to have a cross stitch thing on my wall that somebody, my grandmother might have made for me saying, strangers are just friends we haven't met yet.
Yeah, that's a classic.
Adorable.
That's a classic old one. I like it. I had segment 5 here called Real Life Stories.
And that was the story I interrupted earlier in the episode,
it was one of them. I also got some people to send some in.
Oh, cool.
And I forgot to write them all down before this. And so only a couple of people send them in. I asked people when chatting to a random stranger had changed their path.
Oh,
or
yeah.
They'd learned something massive or something like that. And very egocentrically, the only one I can quickly get on my phone right now is one that the person sent back about me.
Aww.
And she said, meeting you on the beach was serendipitous! That day I had to drag myself out of the house as an act of self-love. Feeling lonely as fuck and super disconnected. I walked by the group and thought, hey, I'd love to sit and chat with them. Because I had I had like 3 people with me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't. Because my brain was being a twerp.
Twerp. We need to bring back twerp. Brilliant.
Trying to keep me safe from feeling rejected. Sure enough, you all waved me over because she was kind of lurking. And we had a beautiful conversation about life, mindset, love, and heartbreak. And it reminded me we're never alone in this world. Loneliness is mostly just an illusion.
Ah, oh, that's a really cool statement.
That's why I do what I do down there, is that lots of people would love to talk to a stranger, but they're a little bit scared.
Yeah, and you just give them straight permission to come talk to you.
I'm just the gateway drug.
Yeah.
That gives them that little bit of confidence.
Yeah.
To be able to go, oh, I talked to a stranger and it was great.
Yeah.
Maybe I should talk to another stranger. They're going to be sorely let down after having me first.
God.
I'm in a very egotistical day, I think.
Sounds like it.
Maybe I'm just trying to make myself feel good.
I'm going to go spray you down with a hose.
Yeah, just trying to make myself feel good. I'm pretty and people like me, but...
Hey. Oh my God, puppy dog eyes. You're absolutely getting the hose treatment.
Hose me down, baby. All right, let's wrap this chaos up. In order to broaden your world, to reinforce new connections in your brains, to create new perspectives, new understandings, learn from the unfamiliar. And the easiest way to do that is to talk to strangers. It's going to do so much good for you, and it's not as hard as you think. I double dog dare you to go and talk to a stranger this week. Just one. I've given you 7 days and one interaction. Compliment someone. It's the easiest way in. It may not change your world. It may just be a surface level random conversation. Or it may actually change your world. They might teach you something. Like one of the things that I like asking people is, what's the best piece of wisdom you ever learned?
Yeah, it's a good one.
Right? Like, be explicit in going, no, 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 you're here to teach me. Let's go. What do you got? What do you got? Give me the greatest lesson you ever learned in your life.
Yeah.
Or the best piece of wisdom. Or even just the best quote you know.
Yeah.
Right? Give it to me. I want it. Make me better. Going down to the beach and opening myself up to talking to strangers wasn't the beach originally. It was the beach. But the first ever time I did it was not technically on the sand.
But yeah,
but
on the grass.
On the grass next to the beach at Mount Maunganui. And since then, I've been next to lakes. And I've been in redwood forests. And I've been on the side of the road. And I've been most predominantly at La Punta in Puerto Escondido. But the amount of value that I have gotten out of talking to strangers is immense. Even if I feel like they may, like a particular conversation may not have taught me something, that I was just there to help them, I still get massive value of being a helper.
Yeah.
And it makes me happy and I come home happy. Like, you know, when I come home, I come home at sunset, it's dinner time. And one of the first questions Libby will always ask me is, you know, who'd you talk to at the beach today?
Mm.
And I'll be like, oh, so-and-so. And I did this and told this and this. And then maybe Libby gives me a reflection on my reflection of the conversation.
Yeah.
And maybe you're my teacher for that. But I needed that conversation for you to point out a lesson for me.
Yeah.
Right. But either way, it is expanding my worldview because I sit with people I don't agree with all the time. Like, there is a bunch of Israelis that are always down there, and I'm happy to talk about the conflict that they're currently having. There are a lot of Catholics in Mexico, and if they want to talk about religion, I'm happy to go into something that I don't believe in that way. And one of my favorite terms is strong views loosely held.
Mm-hmm.
And I try very hard to pride myself on that. I have very strong views on pretty much everything. But if you can sit down and give me a compelling argument, I'm happy to change that. And so sometimes people have done that and I love them for that. That's the podcast, Libby Grace. We can send the people on their way to talk to strangers and live better lives. Anything to say at the end?
No, as usual.
Good. Love you all. Thank you very much. See you next week. Goodbye.
That was Inside Out with Jimmy Hunt. See you next time.